Hello and welcome to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course, on our podcast. I'm AD Packham and we are broadcasting worldwide with the help of the brilliant oldfootballshirts.com. Well, last week at Southampton, we left it late again, but Neil Morpay cracked the code to fire home a 98th-minute equaliser, which will live long in the memory. The bit rate of our goals, though, is a little bit of a concern at the moment, but I'm sure our recruitment team are using all of their bandwidth to bring in more firepower when the window opens in a couple of weeks. We're also in action on Wednesday night with Wolves, the visitors to the Amex. Well, perhaps we need a computer to capture our first win in 10 games, and we've got one. And today, Alan Wares and myself are delighted to welcome Albion Zambian international, Enoch Mwepu. Thank you so much for joining us, Enoch. It's been wonderful. It's so wonderful for you to be with us.
Calm down, AD. Calm down.
I know.
Down.
I'm a little bit excited. I don't know how many computer links I managed to get into that, but I tried to get a few in.
Well done. Can we also introduce, while we're at it, Albion fan Liz O'Brien. Liz, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me on the show. Absolutely. Especially with a Zambian superstar.
Well, just to make a point here for those that, because obviously we're not going to see this on Zoom, Liz herself has got a signed Zambian shirt. AD has got a slightly moody Zambian shirt behind him with a Nike tick and Adidas trefoil. but let's talk to the man himself. Well, Enoch, it's the first chance I guess we've had to say this. Welcome to Brighton. How are you finding it here?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me here. I'm enjoying Brighton. The moment I was here, I actually was in love with the beautiful sea. it's been nice staying here in Brighton. The city is really pretty good, nice. I hang out a lot with my wife to go out to eat. So the restaurants are nice as well. And just the people are very cool and, easy to go with. So I'm really enjoying Brighton.
Was it always your ambition to come to England?
Yeah, it was. It was my ambition, to come to England. And, for me, it's a dream, really. It's a big thing to me and it means a lot to me, to my family and to the people I've grown up with in Zambia. So,
because I mean, the Premier League in Zambia is absolutely massive over there, isn't it? I mean, it's all Liverpool, Man United shirts everywhere, Chelsea, probably not so many Brighton, but.
Yeah, it is. It is. Everybody in Zambia, we watch a lot of the Premier League and most of the fans, most of the people support Liverpool, Man U, Chelsea, etc. But now we have seen a turnaround now. I'm sure most Zambians are Brighton and Leicester City fans.
I have to tell you, you've absolutely nailed it, Enoch. It's like I can now walk down wearing my Brighton shirt and all of a sudden Zambians are all over me. The computer. But then they also struggle because it's like we don't know when Brighton played Leicester.
Oh, yeah.
The country was split. They didn't know whether to call Dhaka or Mwepu.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a good place to start then, because obviously you and Patson, I mean, your paths have been very, very similar. And it was Lee Kawanu who kind of brought you together. So talk to us about Lee.
Yeah, so Lee is just, for me, I'd say he's our director who has helped us to make all these transfers and movements. I think he has been there to guide us. He has guided us really well, and we appreciate him for being there because we normally don't have quite a lot of people who lead players in a good way, I would say, because some of the directors or agents, they just want money and those sorts of things. So he has really seen us grow. He identified us way back in 2014. In the Airtel Rising Stars, me and Patson, and he just loved me and of course my talent as well as Patson, and he was eager to help me become his player to represent, and that's how I've worked with him.
I mean, he kind of had a pathway to it. He made you a promise, didn't he, when that he'd have you playing in Europe by the time you were 18.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. His ambition, of course, is to see us progress and become one of the best players in Zambia. And this is truly coming to pass. And it's just good to see him really having those thoughts about us. And we just want to make him happy as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite a massive career path for you that you've had. I mean, obviously going through the various leagues in Zambia. I mean, obviously you mentioned Tel Rising Stars, obviously Kafue Celtic, who you joined when you were 15, is that right?
Yeah, I joined Celtic when I was actually young. I just completed my school. I think I was should be 15, 16, somewhere there. Yeah. And yeah, it wasn't easy for me to leave my family and go to another city, actually. Mm. But I just had to try my best and try to do my best that side. And thank God that Mr. Lee was there as well to help me settle. And yeah, that's how the journey actually started anyway.
But I mean, what was it like for a footy mad kid growing up in Chambishi?
So growing up in Chambishi, for me was fun, was nice because I was surrounded by my family, friends, and we would go to play, in one of our academies there. So I wouldn't say it was hard or tough for me because when I'm surrounded by my family, I feel loved, I feel cared. And even if I don't live the best life, but just being present with my family is everything that I need. So they supported me throughout, and I enjoyed being with them, and they saw me grow in my talent in school. So that really also helped me grow my talent.
Because I mean, obviously you're a professional footballer now, but I mean you did have dreams of being an engineer at one point, I believe.
Yeah, of course. And one of them is to play in the Premier League, you know. I'm a Liverpool fan growing up, of course, even now, you know. So yeah, it was my ambition was to really come and play in the Premier League. And yeah, it's just an opportunity and honor for me to be here in the Premier League now.
Your path with Liverpool, it seems to be a very recurring theme with you, I think. We're playing against them in the Champions League for Salzburg and scoring your first Albion League goal up at Anfield, which must have been very special for you. But Al, you wanted to say something?
No, I just want to bring Liz in at this point because you've been out in Africa for a while, but just briefly give us your Albion supporting history. But I think probably for the sake of the nature of this show today, is when did you first became aware of the talents of Enoch and aware of what the Zambian football supporting public thought of him?
Yeah, I mean, well, I've been in and out of my job's with wildlife rescue, so I work. I'm based all over wherever they need me. So in Zambia, especially Botswana and Namibia, all around there. But I think the thing is, the one thing I know about sub-Saharan Africa and probably all of Africa is football is a number one thing. So I used football because I've been a season ticket holder at Brighton for too many years, 30 years, more than that. And I use that as an introduction when I'm going out to do people, because you produce a football and you get a conversation. So you start talking about, and I absolutely agree, when I go out there, the first time I was out in Zambia was back in 2011. We just had the World Cup in South Africa, that was my first visit to Zambia when England would, played a terrible game of football against Germany at Bloemfontein. We flew up to Livingston to Victoria Falls to get over the horror. And and we loved the country. So when I got the opportunity to go back, and Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man United, and the only other two teams would have been Real Madrid and Barcelona. And that's what everybody knew. Nobody had heard of Brighton. They talked to me like, what, Brighton? Who? Are they a team? Are they a team? Anyone support that? But football everywhere. And in fact, it is great because they will talk about it and they've got their teams. But what's been amazing over the last few years is how people, they pick up. The one thing I see is Zambians, they tend not to support a football team as much as they support a player. And I tell you, it's a, yeah, so whereas in the UK, I was brought
You've
up.
You're not laughing here.
Yeah, but he knows it. He knows it's true. Yeah. He knows that all those Brighton fans today from Zambia, if he moves to Liverpool tomorrow, they'll all become Liverpool fans overnight. Tell you what, though, it's like, but for me, you know, I was taken to my first Brighton game as a 12-year-old with my sister, and I was a Brighton fan from that day. And I support the team. And any player that leaves, fine. I wish them luck, well done, which are no longer Brighton. So, yeah, whatever. But for Zambians, it's like, okay, and it's memorable. Or Dakar. If Dakar leaves Leicester City, they go. And it's like a totally different support. You know, they don't support Barcelona. They supported Lionel Messi. You know,
Enoch, is this true? Is what Liz saying? Is it true?
I want to know if Enoch thinks it's true.
Yeah, I would say it's true, and the reason I would say it's true is because I think in our culture and how we have been raised, we haven't had so many players playing in Europe for like quite a long time. You know, so it's very hard for Zambians to really focus on just one team. It's like, talk about Manchester United or Liverpool. They would support that team for the rest of their lives, but because these are the team that they watch a lot most of the time. They watch the Premier League. So they are constant watching maybe three or four teams. But when you talk of other teams, they will definitely support one individual player. So like she has said, if I was to move to the way I was, for instance, in Austria, the page would be full of Zambians. But today you won't see, you will just see maybe three or four because I have moved, they moved too. So I think it's just the lack of having a lot of players in Europe. That's why they support individual players more than a team.
So when you moved from Salzburg to Brighton, were you aware of how many fellow Zambians had heard, even in the Premier League, of Brighton?
Nah, not so. I think they started supporting Brighton because they heard that I've moved to Brighton. Yeah.
I would concur. I've had conversations and we discussed football big matches. And they're like, you know, and they would ask me, oh, where's Brighton? Who is Brighton? But they had no. But I tell you, from the minute you arrived at that club, you get questioned about it. And now they are Brighton. Yeah, they're Premier League.
They are Brighton, yeah. And it's how incredible they are. Because even if they support Manchester United, because I'm Brighton, they will not support Manchester United. They will support Brighton because I'm playing for Brighton.
Absolutely. That is the correct answer. I just want to rewind a little bit, Enoch, because I heard a lovely story. It was actually on Ed Aaron's Made in Africa pod where he interviewed Lee Kwanu. And he was telling a story about... The first time you left Africa to, which is with the under-17s, I think, the Zambian under-17s, and you went to a tournament in Italy, and you weren't too keen on the food, apparently.
Oh, the food was so terrible. No, the food was not nice. The first time, no, I didn't enjoy the food in Italy, really. I think that was the worst food I've ever had in Italy. and it being my first time to travel to Europe was I didn't really like it. So we had to now just order like fries and we ate a lot of them. Yeah, so I would say. But the pasta was not good.
Have you learned to like it now though?
Yeah, now at least I've moved a lot and I get to I've eaten a lot of different food, so I'm used to it now.
So I'll come back to you, Liz. Now, the question I asked just now, I mean, I'm asking you because, you know, I don't want to embarrass Enoch, although I'm just about to embarrass Enoch. So don't worry about that. When did he first become, obviously you've been in Zambia for a while, so when did he first become on your radar?
Well, it's quite interesting, actually, because the people I work with, is a guy I work with who heads up the Centre for Zero Waste and Development in Africa. But the truth is, we've got to be friends because he's a massive football fan. And he likes Bayern Munich. And we just got talking and we were talking about, and I was asking him, I see these Zambians, they're playing in Austria. You know, have you heard of? So a couple of years ago, it was when you were playing for Salzburg. So we followed Salzburg's progress the whole of the season, which culminated with you winning And that was it. And we were telling him, I was even emailing Brighton over Albion saying, you need to look at these two, Patson Daka and Ninong Wepu. Brighton needs to sign them. I think Paul Campbell just gave up. He said, okay, let's just get them. So when he was at Salzburg, that's when we really started. You're really making an impression. And because I'm dealing with a lot of people on a daily basis in Zambia who talk football, they knew Salzburg. They knew Salzburg better than they knew Bayern Munich, even, because of Enoch and Pat.
That's true.
So with that in mind, then, is that the sort of like the kind of the mindset that you're talking about with Zambian footballers, or sorry, Zambian football fans, is that it doesn't matter how good or bad the club that you're that they're playing for is that because we did experience a certain amount of this with previous players, and that the obsession can get a little bit OTT at times, but when you get the Zambian football fan who will say, you must go and see so-and-so, is that basically that and all about it? They won't rave about anyone else, just their own fellow countrymen, Liz?
No, I mean, the knowledge in Zambia of English Premier League, Serie A and La Liga is astonishing. Yeah. I can talk to eight-year-olds who can hardly speak English, but they'll be able to talk to me about the English Premier League, or the Milan Derby, or Barcelona Real Madrid, and things like that. So they do love those top things. The fact that they've got one of their own countrymen playing for one of them is like the icing on the cake. Mm. Before the Zambians, before Enoch and Patson really made their mark, they were still, and that was what made it so awesome, is they're like, our boys are playing in English Premier League. It's massive. It was almost bigger than the presidential election we just had.
That's really
true. Okay. Will agree,
yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Okay. let's talk about how you came to be in Salzburg then, because I mean that's pretty much where Freddie Canute came into the picture, I think. And like, I mean, Lee, I believe he had offers. You could have gone to Russia, you could have gone to Saudi, but he wanted the right path for you. And obviously you and Patson both went to Salzburg, but I mean they didn't fancy you at first. You didn't fit their player profile at first, is that correct?
So how it was is that I was scouted after we played the under 20 Africa Cup that we hosted, and we won the tournament, and then we went to the World Cup the same year. But in Africa I met Canute after I think we played the semi-final. That's when he approached me that I want to be your representative as your agent. So from that time, because he knew Patson already, so most of the scouts from Red Bull, they came to watch Patson and some other talents from Madi and so on. And then they saw me also. So that's how they picked me as well. But after the World Cup, Red Bull Salzburg came to me to say, okay, we're going to sign you and all that. But with that, I had also other options to go, because we played with Barcelona B when we were preparing ourselves for the World Cup. And I played really incredible, and Barcelona B wanted to get me. So I had two options, either to go to Red Bull or to go to Barcelona B. But I think Mr. D and Canute advised me to go to Red Bull because they are a good team that knows how to really, really scout young talents. And I chose that path, and that's how I found myself in Red Bull. Perhaps if they told me to go to Barcelona, I would have maybe gone to Barcelona B, and by now maybe I should have been playing for Barcelona.
Better playing for Barcelona.
Yeah, but that didn't work, so I had to choose to go to Red Bull. And that's how I found myself there, yeah.
And how much of a cultural shift was it for you to go from home to Austria? Did you take a while to settle in, or was it just something you thought, great, let's just do this? How did you feel about it?
At first it was a bit difficult because it was winter by then, so it was freezing for me, yeah. So
was that the first time you'd seen snow?
That was my first time I saw snow, yes. It was really freezing, like crazy. But it's good for me because Patson was there, so it was easy for me to really settle. If I was alone, perhaps it would have been a bit difficult. But glad that Patson was there to help me settle easy.
Sure. So, I mean, having having a mate around who's like you say, as Adie said, is very much a parallel career. Someone you've known since as a young teenager. So bearing in mind that, you know, those parallel careers happened until such time as you then left Salzburg, do you feel that, I mean, I'm probably going to ask a really awkward question here, do you feel that you'd have really loved to have carried on playing with him wherever it was you're going to end up after that, especially in England?
No, of course not. Our time together in Salzburg, I think we had so many discussions together, and we had ambitions, of course, but we never saw ourselves leaving Salzburg and going together to another club in the Premier League. But there was another opportunity that could happen. There was a percentage that could happen. And our main aim was like, if we find ourselves in the Premier League, for instance, Brighton, Patson is here. I think it's just something that would be also nice also for us and for the Zambians, because it's really easy to settle in well when you have a friend close to you, you know, and that way that would have been beautiful, even more beautiful. but football-wise, it all happens that you cross paths, and that's what has happened, and we have accepted that. And yeah, we now face each other as opponents and try to win.
that must be weird, Enoch, playing. I mean, and I think you've had a go at doing it, but that must be weird playing against you, mate.
It was really weird. We normally played together, same club, same everything, and now playing against each other. It was, yeah, the rivalry hasn't been strong, but hopefully in the near future it's going to become strong.
I mean, that Leicester game in the League Cup. I mean, both you and Patson, you both started that game playing against each other. And of course, I mean, it didn't end that great for you with the penalty, but you did score a brilliant goal.
Thank you. actually, for us the two, it's more of being friends, but the rivalry is more of our fans. The fans are the ones who really go crazy about us when we are playing together. It's more like, the more they say, like, it's more like people go crazy about us. So they would do anything just to watch our games. They would leave offices and just watch our game. And that's how passionate they are about us. But the two of us, it's more of just like, okay, I'm going to meet you and we'll see how it goes on the field. But so our rivalry is more on the fans than ourselves, actually.
Sure. Yeah. So, Liz, when Brighton are playing Leicester, who do the Zambian fans support?
Brighton City or Leicester and Hove Albion. they really do not know. And then I tell you, Enoch, every bar, every restaurant on that particular game, everybody was showing it. And it's like, you know, if Brighton scored, they'd have all cheered. If Leicester scored, they'd all cheer. And at the end of it, their ideal would have been a draw, I think. You know, because they genuinely don't know, should I, you know, which we hope, you know, some of them will try and persuade them around to our way of supporting, which is, no, if you're Brighton, you're Brighton. it was tricky, but the Zamians are such a lovely sort of people. You tend not to get, you get rivalry, you get banter. But if a goal comes, everything's forgotten and they all just go crazy celebrating the goal that one of their guys has scored. I know good Zambian friends who are big, big Liverpool fans, but they really did not mind when Enoch scored against Liverpool. That's okay. He's one of us.
we'll come to that. We'll come to that cross, maybe shot. Let's think about that in a bit. I'm teasing Enoch. But let's...
Zambia, it was a shot.
Yes, I think in Brighton it was a shot as well, so don't worry about that.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's a definite shot.
Of course. It, I know,
goal of the season.
Shot, you know, except Match of the Day didn't agree, that was all. No, so the question I wanted to ask is, now obviously you had some suggestions, some advice as to where you should be going and leaving Africa to go to Austria. So how did it come about, the move from Salzburg to Brighton? And did you get... options of other clubs, and if so, did you get what was the nature of the advice that you received to say that actually, if you're going to England, make it go to Brighton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, at that moment, I received quite some good offers as well from Germany, France. Even Spain.
Barcelona?
No. Not Barcelona. Yeah, but for me, I think my ambition growing up has always been to play in the Premier League. So Brighton, I think I watched most of the games last season, and them being one of the teams that wanted me to come here. And looking at the philosophy, how they play, the culture and everything, I think that really suits my play. And that's why I had to choose to come to Brighton. Of course, my agents told me to decide on which club I can join. And then I looked at those options. And yeah, I thought just Brighton was just perfect for me.
Yeah, I mean, you spent last season, your last season at Salzburg. You had a certain Brazilian in the team called Bernardo, signed from here. And did you have a chat with him about coming to Brighton?
Yeah. Bernardo was just he was just sitting next to me actually. So I had a little bit of chat with him. How is Brighton? How is everything there? How are things? And yeah, he told me everything is good in here. You enjoy, you love it. And yeah, so that also helped me to choose Brighton.
You are listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb, 97.2 FM, online at RadioReverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. This show, as ever, is brought to you in association with the brilliant oldfootballshirts.com. Over 120,000 pictures of shirts from all over the world, including many from Enoch's home country. And Liz, you've got this week's shirt there. Can you describe it for me?
Well, I'm delighted to tell you this shirt, the base colour is actually Brighton and Hove Albion blue, which is wonderful. Every Zambian who sees this shirt will immediately pick up the word NAPSA. NAPSA being the organisation that deals with the pensions in Zambia. So, like us, they don't like paying it. So the Stanbic Bank, a huge bank in there. So we're looking at a blue shirt. It's NAPSA Stanbic FC.
You nearly got it right there, Liz. And this is what Phil has to say about this particular jersey. And he says, here is your shirt of the week. And it's not an old one this time. In fact, it's the current away shirt of Zambian side, NAPSA Stars. The Stars play in the Zambian Eden National Division 1 League, which is the second flight of football in Zambia. And they play at the 14,000 capacity Woodland Stadium in Lusaka, which is the capital city of Zambia. The team used to be known as Profound Warriors FC, but after becoming wholly owned and sponsored by the National Pension Scheme Authority, there you go, Liz, well done, they became known as the NAPSA Stars. And it's no surprise that their nickname is the Pensioners. There have been a few Zambian players who have made the move to UK clubs. The earliest I can find is Freddie Mwila, who joined Aston Villa in 1969 in the blaze of publicity, but it didn't really work out for Freddie in the UK, who made just one league appearance for Villa before spending the rest of his career in the USA with the Atlanta Chiefs. Zambian-born Neil Gregory spent his entire career in England, starting at Ipswich Town in 1992 and moving around the likes of Colchester, Chesterfield, Peterborough and Canvey Island, amongst others. Collins Msemba, he spent 2 years carving out four league appearances for Portsmouth between 2005 and 2007. And Emmanuel Mayuka did slightly better up the road at Southampton, making 16 appearances for the Saints between 2012 and 2015. He now plays for the NAPSA Stars. Charlie Musunda spent his youth at Chelsea. He made a handful of appearances before becoming part of the Chelsea loan army. He's now at Vitesse. And there is an Albion link for you. Enoch Mwepu began his career with the NAPSA Stars. Really, have we just been talking about that? I'm not sure how many times he played for him before moving to the Zambian Super League side, Kafue Celtic, and then on to Red Bull Celtic in 2017. Patson Daka also graduated from Zambian football alongside Enoch Mwepu, and he signed for Leicester from Red Bull Salzburg at the same time. And Phil says, as I said earlier, he says, can I have your away shirt, please? I'm sure that Enoch will try and do that for you.
Oh, the devilish grin that Enoch had on his face as if he was actually responding to a five-year-old.
Yeah. We could do this shirt. So, yeah, no, I was only because I wanted Enoch to know exactly who signed this shirt.
Oh my God, we can see it.
The lights on.
Yeah, it was getting dark.
I hope that's not a Liverpool shirt.
No.
All I was saying, Enoch, is the shirt. I mean, it's not only a sign, Zach. It's actually signed by every member of the 2012 Africa Cup winning side.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is the shirt. Huh?
Yeah, I could love that. You should auction that shirt.
Oh, maybe.
But Al, we've also, it's Christmas time, and we've teamed up with our good.
Don't need to be afraid.
Yeah. But we've teamed up with our good friends at Art of Football once more, and they are offering a £30 voucher for one of their brilliant shirts. You can go to their website at Art of Football. Just Google Art of Football. It's that will come up. It's absolutely wonderful stuff on there. We've actually helped design a couple of them as well, haven't we, Al?
The help design is pushing it a little bit, but you know, I do like the fact that they've got their teddy bear with the drinking Harveys, so that's pretty cool.
And the one with the shirt, which we corrected for them when after they put a training shirt on there by accident.
Oh, don't even go there. If only we had a decent sponsor for this show that could actually have pointed that out for us.
But we've got a voucher to give away, £30 voucher. Hopefully you'll be able to get that just in time for Christmas if you answer this one question, Al.
Okay, to have a chance of winning the £30 voucher, please just answer this question for us correctly. Is Enoch on the show? And our question is that Enoch scored his first Premier League goal for the Albion against Liverpool at Anfield. Who was the other Brighton player to score for us that day? So who scored the second goal at Anfield, which resulted in a 2-2 draw? Send your correct answer to thealbionroar@yahoo.co.uk. I'll read that again. It's the email address is thealbionroar@yahoo.co.uk. Jot down your correct answer and we will draw the winner from a random selection of the correct answers. So who scored the second goal at Anfield for the Albion when we drew 2-2 recently?
And we'll be announcing the winner of that on next week's show.
Just to say that the deadline will be Friday, the 17th of December at midday, and we will select the winner from then.
Lights off, but it still shine. Got no wings, but it still fly. I'll get it in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Lights off, but it still shine. Got no wings, but it still fly. I'll get it in the morning. Joy comes in the morning, yeah. Don't turn on the lights, I got my eyes on. Don't mess up the vibe, see the hype gone. Feel wasted, I hope I can see tomorrow, yeah. All my love gone, now my head grown, yeah. Came from the mud, you're not getting. I'm settled, no worries, now I got medals. It's too dark for a rainbow. You know I make it snow, it's life I can go. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't believe to you, done many. I give them pressure, that's the pandemic. Accept the rap game, I'm like paramedics. Smart, that's energetic. I feel like I'm heaven sent. Roller coaster, how I jump on this wave. It's high time I lead the way. Too many sins on my knees, now I pray. Lights off, but I shine, yeah. My life all about the grind now. We can do it all the time, yeah. What a time to be alive. Lights off, but I still shine. Got no wings, but I still fly. I'll get in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Lights off, but it still shine. Got no wings, but I still fly. I'll get it in the morning. Joy comes in the morning, yeah. When it falls to steam, everything comes to it. Can my luck steam, now they tryna have me. Can I leave, can I even sleep? I feel like I'm 6 feet deep down. The pain is killing me, yeah. Boy from scratch, now I'm bowling. Got some little cash from the tracks I recorded. No one believed to a drop a sad project. Pull up on the mic, I sound foreign, yeah. You need a hard life, you don't even have a stove. You think we're friends, just because I pick your calls. Had some ups and downs, problems I had to solve. Lose my heart like I never loved no soul. In the morning tryna make a move. We come praying, there's nothing new. Godly moves, now we on the news. And no one can replace me. I thank God cause he blessed me. Yeah, yeah, still shine. Got no wings, but I still fly. I'll get in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Lights off, but I still shine. Got no wings, but I still fly. I'll get in the morning. Joy comes in the morning, yeah.
Now, actually, there's something I think that we don't necessarily get to realise. So, Liz, I know you've been practising, but did you want to greet Enoch?
Yeah, I do. I say because I when I came in, I would say Machoma Bwanji. You know, if I could say Nikali Kupunzila Kukamba Chinyanga So Nima Lema Pangono Pangono. I'm sure when the Zambians listen to this podcast, they're all going to go, "What a terrible accent she has."
How was it, Enoch? How is it Nyanja? Nyanji?
Nyanja.
It's Nyanja, yeah.
How
also, I also just learned it how to speak it because where I come from, we just speak Pemba. So in Lusaka.
So I should have greeted you. Hey, Mulishani.
Yeah, in Pemba, yeah.
In Pemba. But the thing is, I had the 72 different languages in Zambia, so I had to take a guess as to which one.
Okay. So,
what I was trying to practice was Umoyo Wanu Uyenda Bwanji Mu Brighton.
Hang on a sec, Aidy, before you continue. Liz has now made Enoch just burst into laughter. It's a bit like, I guess, Aidy trying to do the show in Welsh.
I can do it in Welsh, but it
are. Thank you, sir. Enoch, how much practice does Liz need, do you think?
No, actually, she's pronouncing it good. Maybe, yeah, she just needs a few months and then she'll be okay.
Practice, sir.
Yeah.
She's going to book herself in for some lessons, Enoch, I think. But okay, so Enoch, so I mean, when you did come to Brighton. Now, when Patson went to Leicester, they famously asked him. I think you both had to quarantine when you came over here for a while, and they offered Patson PlayStations and stuff, and he said, "No, I just want books on some books and stuff about Leicester." So, what did you get offered, and did you get offered books about Brighton?
Not really for me. Yeah, this stuff nowadays you can actually Google and get to know some of the things. So yeah, I took my time to just Google a little bit, but I asked them to give me a bike in the hotel and just some of the equipment so that I can be working out and try to keep myself fit in the room. And yeah, so that really also helped me to start well with the preseason.
Okay,
well, you ask actually just which to see how stingy or how generous Brighton are. Which hotel did they put you up in?
I was at Jury's.
On the seafront.
Jury's, yeah, the seafront.
So you were talking about there, Enoch, about sort of like the transition that you had to make. I mean, it was helpful having Patson with you, but the transition you had to make from life from Africa to Austria. With that in mind, did you have to make much of a transition from life in Austria to here? Which we'd like to think, at the very least, it's a little bit warmer here than the midwinter in the Austrian Alps. But did you have to make much of a transition, considering that obviously, you know, you didn't have your mate with you?
No, I didn't consider that. For me, I considered it because I'm coming to play the Premier League, and this is really big for me. Coming to the weather, the food, and people, you know, these things are adjustable. Yeah, for me, staying in the cold in Austria, I think it makes it even easier coming here in Brighton, where it's a little bit warm. And yeah, so with those things, for me, it wasn't really difficult to consider. But I considered coming here because of it being the Premier League, you know, and it's a huge thing for me, which will last for my life.
Yeah. Well, it was your dream, wasn't it, to play in the Premier League from a young age? So I mean, it was absolutely wonderful. But I mean, you came over here, you settled in quite quickly in pre-season, and you announced yourself with a goal in the pre-season game at Luton, and that was an early sign of what you can actually bring to the team, arriving late into the box and getting shots away, which was something which we'd probably be missing. So, I mean, that must have been a thrill for you to actually get a goal early on.
Yeah, of course. I scored quite a lot of goals in Austria, and that's my thing that I do. And I love to assist, I love to score goals, and these are the qualities that I give to the team. Yeah, so coming here to Brighton, of course, the team expect me to do that, but just that how can I say it, like a turnaround because of some injuries. Yeah, I was fit and fine in preseason, and that's why I had a good preseason. And I was ready to start the league. It's just unfortunate that I got injured, and that has not been, it's not easy, you know, to get injured here and there and then try to get the rhythm of the Premier League. So it hasn't been easy for me, but I'm trying my best to be fit again and try to give my best to the team. Hopefully I can score goals and assist more.
I mean, you did start the first game of the season away at Burnley, but I mean, it only lasted 45 minutes. I mean, did you find the pace of the game difficult? Was it what you were expecting it to be?
Yeah, for me, I think the first game was good. I had a decent game. I think it was just a tact. We talked with the gaffer. It was just a tactical change. I think I did most of the things well. And it's not just easy to join a team and probably get the best from the start. I know things would go probably in a different way, but I just have to be positive, accept everything, and just try to move on. But I think we did most of the things, and good thing that we picked up 3 points in the first game.
What about the actual sort of the games themselves? Now that we're back to having full stadiums, for now. Now that we're back to having them, is there anything sort of particularly different that you notice about, say, playing in Austria to playing in England as regarding the crowds and the noise, whether it's the home fans or the away fans? I mean, when you step out onto a pitch in England, you know, what's the crowd feel like to you?
Wow, it's really different as compared to Austria. In Austria, not so many people watch the game or chanting the way they're chanting here in the Premier League. It's totally different. I feel here in the Premier League is like the way I felt when playing the Champions League in Austria. You can feel the difference, the goosebumps, you know, and just entered in the field. It was just different, you know. So playing the Premier League here and looking at the fans and how they love football, they are passionate about football. It's something different, and it's something that I want to get used to as well. Yeah, I need to get used to it, and I think I'll be okay. I'm sure. Yeah, fans will really help me a lot to improve my game.
Yeah, I mean, the manager does help with that sort of thing as well, doesn't he? I mean, he's very hands-on with the players. He's a very intelligent guy. I mean, and his attention to detail as well. I mean, were you shocked with how much work Graham puts in?
No, I wouldn't be shocked. But for me, it's helpful to find a good manager like him. He's so patient about players, and he loves giving opportunities to everybody. And yeah, he talks to me most of the time, and he talks to the team collectively, and he knows our quality, he knows what we can do. So yeah, working with him, for me, it's something that I'm benefiting, and hopefully, yeah, we can have a success season with him.
So tell us about, you know, when you first arrived at Brighton and the rest of the squad welcoming you. So I mean, did they sort of make you feel welcome? Tell us about the culture of the playing squad, and how do you feel you've fitted in with them now? Are you happy in your place of work?
Yeah, I'm very happy. Yeah, they welcomed me very well. When I came, I was going through their offices and the physio rooms, and the where we eat, and the people were just nice seeing me come through. I think the computer name is the one that really
Tell us about that. Tell us how you got the name of the computer.
Because everyone wants to joke about it. So it's something that makes me laugh about, and the other guy, you know. So with that really helped me as well to settle in well. And yeah, in training as well, they always push me, tell me how good I am as well. So that really puts me at a good rhythm to work with them.
Who came up with the name The Computer then?
It's the coach. It's the coach who formed the Rising Stars Academy in Chambishi.
Yeah.
The father to the late friend of mine, Changa Kalad, is the one who named me The Computer.
So you heard AD's introduction trying to make as many computer references as possible.
Yeah.
I know. My modem was obviously not working properly, but
it lacked bite.
But in pre-season, there was a lovely interview with you, and you said how your style of play is going to be brilliant for Danny Welbeck and how many goals you're going to lay on for him. Obviously, Danny's almost back to fitness, hopefully. Hopefully, we'll see him before Christmas. And hopefully you'll be in the team to lay on many, many goals for him.
Yeah, I hope so. It's for both of us, like I said, for me also, yeah, injuries here and there, which is really hard to get in the momentum that you want to be. Danny as well, he had some setbacks of injury. So it's really, really difficult like this. But we hope that we both get to our rhythm, work hard to be fit as well. And hopefully he can get more goals and I can assist more. Not only Welbeck, but also other players as well.
Okay. And I know we're running out of time with you, Enoch, but I mean, we've got to talk about it. I mean, obviously, growing up as a Liverpool fan, obviously you had played at Anfield before in the Champions League with Salzburg, which must have been a special occasion for you. But to get your first Albion Premier League goal in that way at Anfield, I mean, how did that make you feel? The party in your head must have been amazing.
Yeah, for sure it was. I think for me, it's I said it's just a blessing from God, I would say. You know, growing up and watching this team, loving this team, and then you play against that team and then you score such a goal. It's something for me I couldn't believe as well. I couldn't believe like I scored a goal. But it made me feel blessed, and I think it will last long in my life. I'll always cherish that moment.
Liz?
I don't have much to say about that, but yeah, it just made me really happy.
Liz?
It made a lot of Zambians very happy. But one thing I'm going to ask you, is I know you're going to have to leave us soon. One thing that would make this particularly Brighton fan living in Zambia, seasoning older, is if you could just manage on Friday the 14th of January, if you could just pull off the same kind of goal.
Okay.
I would be very happy.
Palace that day.
Crystal Palace.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Have you been told about the rivalry, Enoch? Have you been told about the rivalry?
Yeah, I've been told about the rivalry. So we'll come then in the next year. And I'll keep that date.
A plea from the Zambian flag right here.
I've got a plea from our sponsor as well, Phil Shelley from oldfootballshirts.com. And we have sent the shirt of the week out, but he has asked, he wants your away shirt, Enoch, and he's not going to stand in the crowd like a five-year-old with a sign. Yeah.
No problem. You should just rest there.
We're getting to stand like that in the 1901 blue. Enoch, can I have your shirt?
All right. Enoch, and just one last question before you have to leave us in that case. What are your hopes and ambitions for your time while at Brighton and Hove Albion?
First thing, I have to hear the ambition of the club. The ambition for the club is to make the team become a top 10 team. And I believe we have the quality that can do that. But I feel for me as a player, my ambitions are always to help the team get better results. If I can score goals, if I can assist a lot as well as a midfielder, this will definitely help. I've seen a lot of players like midfielders not scoring quite a lot of goals in seasons. And I just want to take up that challenge and be one of the midfielders who can help the team. And yeah, I think that way will help the team get better results, and hopefully one day we can participate in European championships.
If you could just teach your colleagues how to shoot, that would be fantastic.
Yeah. Or better still, tell Patson January there's a transfer window.
Enoch, one quick message to your Zambian fans.
I think to the Zambian fans, it's for me, it motivates me to see how passionate they are about football, and just to see how they support me and how they support my friends as well. It's massive, and I would urge them to keep supporting me, keep supporting the club I play for, and keep supporting also other players like they have done. And hopefully we can make them more proud than we have done.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Listen, Enoch has to leave us now, sadly. But Enoch Mwepu, thank you so much for joining us on the RBM Raw.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Liz, you're still with us. Lovely to know you're here. How is it that you've now met, albeit on Zoom, Enoch? What bragging rights do you have when you eventually do return to Lusaka?
Well, I'd like to think a lot, because he really is. I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, they love their football anyway. Even the Zambian football stars, obviously. In fact, Mayuka, who you mentioned now, his name's on here somewhere. They still get talked about. The guys from way back, 30 years back, they're still talked about. But Enoch and Patson are too much. If I can tell people I met him, it'll be two things. One, fantastic. Second, when can you bring him to meet us? And how cool would that be? I mean, there's an open invitation, Enoch, if you happen to listen to this on the podcast, you know, let's come back. He's an amazing guy. And
so let's talk about you a little bit more, Liz. You said you've been an Albion season ticket holder for 30 years plus. Tell us about your first ever game watching the Albion. What do you remember about it?
This is great. I was probably, I think I was about 12, maybe 13. It was a Tuesday night. It was pouring with rain. We were at home and we won. My memory tells me it was Preston North End. But I've kind of gone back into some of the football archives, and I couldn't necessarily find a match. Yeah. So I think the only thing I really remember was, I don't. I only know it was towards the beginning of the season. I say I tried looking on some of the football archive. It was definitely a Tuesday night. We definitely won. I can't remember the score.
Which season are we talking about?
Pardon?
Which season are we talking about here?
I'm guessing it would have been 72, 73 or 73, 74.
You've just given your age away now, so.
Oh, no, I was only 6 months old at the time, clearly.
And do you remember the result?
I don't. It's a bit of me says it was 2-1. I know we won. But I say, I've tried looking, and I think maybe my memory's playing tricks. Maybe we didn't, you know, but I say, all of my mind, I had in mind, it was Preston North End at home.
So. Well, I'm looking here in Tim Carter's book, which is now, 28 years old. I'm looking at the beginning of the 72-73 season, and we didn't play Preston near the beginning. So, but actually, I mean, if you're going to talk about remembering that it was chucking hard, the Goldstone, does that kind of imply that you're on the East Stand? Because if you're in the North Stand, it's dry.
I'm a North Stander. We just got wet getting there. North Stander. No.
And so was your rites of passage just the classic one of dad/uncle/granddad taking you, or did you go with a friend? What happened?
Not at all. So it was my sister and her boyfriend who both happened to go along, took me to a game. They used to go occasionally, and I got totally hooked. Quite a few of my classmates at school, the same school in Haywards Heath, and we used to sort of go together. But that was it. Every Saturday, I'd work, I'd get on the coach. I mean, one of my sort of earliest memories, I quite often was the only female on the coach. So it's kind of me and about, I had 50 brothers and fathers and uncles to look after me. And even when I left school at 16 and I moved away to near Swindon, but I never stopped watching Brighton. So home games, I used to have to get up, get a lift, get down to Brighton, watch the game, get back to Swindon. Away games, invariably, the coach from Haywards Heath would pick me up at the end of London Bridge or outside the police station on the Edgware Road, if we were, depending on whether we were going north or whatever. And then they dropped me off there on the way back so I could get the GWR back to Swindon.
Fantastic. So now what we're talking about here is roughly 50 years or very nearly 50 years of Albion support and dedication. Here's a nice easy question for you. And I want you to name, maybe it's two players, maybe it's one. Who in your time of watching the Albion, so someone you've seen live, was the best player and who was your favourite player? Because they're not necessarily one and the same.
And they're absolutely not one and the same. I personally think, and it's a little bit like books, really. It can be a bit subjective depending on your mood of the day.
Yeah.
But I think from sheer ability, Wayne Bridge was possibly the best player I ever saw play for the Albion.
Okay. That's an unusual choice.
And everyone goes, but he only played one season. Well, he did only play one season. But it's like when we played teams and he had all these big strikers, and they were in his pocket, every one of them. I'm a Peter Ward girl. You know, I remember Wardy. I remember Wardy in the green and black scoring in that goal in Wrexham. I remember the season where we got West Brom, Ipswich, Derby County in the League Cup. That team, that season. Favourite, if it came down to it, I was a huge Paul Clark fan, just discussing him the other day with a friend of mine, actually. So it is difficult because I don't think I can pick one. I'd have to pick a team of favourites, I think. But, yeah, clearly, I also have a very soft spot for a certain Zambian Enoch Mwepu. Because... I know, if only you'd known, huh?
Yeah.
But I did like to go back to the post I put on the Albion Raw page way back, saying we should sign Enoch Mwepu. And all the people are going, no, we don't want another African, blah, blah. I'm like, I just went back, told you.
Yeah. Well, this is it. What are your hopes for him? Because, I mean, he certainly made his debut at right wing back because that's where everyone does make their debut. But what do you make? Give us, I mean, I know that your favourite, you're his poster girl, or he's your poster boy, let's put it that way. But what do you make of the contribution he's made so far?
But I think he is, and I think that the biggest problem, and we've been like this as football fans, we've been like this since time immemorial. We want results, we want them instantly, we want instant gratification. I look at Yves Bissouma, his first season, everyone's like, really? And now he's rated as one of our top players. I think what I wish most is that Enoch is given the time and the support to settle into the team, is given the playing time, that there's not too much chopping and changing, but I think it'll take a little bit of time. And I want people to give him, be patient, because, you know, it does take time.
So what message would you put out to Zambian fans then about that whole attitude? Because we've seen it before in recent times with a South African and make it a little bit hysterical. So what message would you say to, well, Zambian fans and your Zambian friends about the situation with Enoch at the Albion?
I mean, it's Brighton. It's an English Premier League team. The days of having 11 players and a substitute, and that's it. If somebody gets hurt, you're a bit stuffed, are over. So,
to be honest, Liz, we're a bit stuffed even with substitutes at the last two games.
At the moment, I just think that the message I want to give out is just patience. It's like, you know, somebody's name might not be the first name on the sheet every week, but we're playing in league competitions. We're playing in the best league in the world. Competition is fierce. You've got to pick the right team for the opposition. We've got cup games. We've got FA Cup games. So be patient. If your favourite player doesn't play the game, but if we get a winning team, I would love to keep the winning team. I'm a great believer in the old thing. You don't change a winning team. I would love to see that happen if it's possible. But I do appreciate there are other factors that sometimes mean it's not.
Okay. And that's a great point to finish on. And that's it for this week's show. So thank you so much to Enoch Mwepu, to Liz O'Brien and to Alan Wares. I've been Ady Packham. This has been the Albion Raw on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and of course on our podcast. Don't forget our Art of Football competition. Al, where can you enter that again?
Okay, if you just write down who scored Albion's second goal at Anfield this season, and send the answer to the Albion Raw at yahoo.co.uk.
Okay, that is it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week.
My name is Beto. Bless that African woman. Rich skin tone, my woman. True African proud woman. Rise up, African woman. Definition of a partner. Grind so hard, she a hustler. You think you're the head of the house, but she a backbone of the whole plan.
she's my chicanda. Lumanda. The girl I wanna turn into an abanda. But me the mama, yes, I come back and
I know.